General Mukwege. Next to me is the acting CFO, Dudu Mohloane, Chief of HR, Dr. Lidwaba, Chief of Strategy, Military Strategy and Planning, Major General Sinan, and the Chief of Strategy, Policy Planning, Chief Director Fraser, Mr. Kuzen, Fori, yes, it's from the finance environment, and Makani, also chief director in the finance. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for this opportunity. We distributed annual reports. We've also distributed, hopefully on time, the presentation itself. And therefore, thank you, Chairperson. We are ready. I will actually lead the presentation myself. Our approach, we'll be taking you through the contents of this report. We will take you through our strategic review. We'll also take you through the annual performance against plan, because this annual report is based on a strategic business plan with very clear, measurable objectives and outputs. We'll be taking you through those performance and so on. We'll also take you through our financial performance, 06-07, how we've spent our budget, and what are the challenges that we face in that regard. Next. Can we go to the scope? Content of the... Yes. So this is the layout of the report, as you might have realized in the annual report itself, strategic review. Then there are 9 programs that we pursue as Department of Defense. One is administration, force employment, landward defense, air defense, maritime defense, military health support, defense intelligence, joint support, and special defense accounts. As you know, we are the only department that has 2 accounts. We have the general account and a special defense account for special acquisition and censorship projects. And finally, we'll take you through the organizational structure and human resource management. Yes. So, Professor, let's start by saying that, as we know, the Department of Defense derives its constitutional mandate from Section 200, subsection 2 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, and that mandate is given substance in the Defense Act. And our vision or the outcome that we're expected to deliver in this country is effective defense for a democratic South Africa. Our strategic business plan is guided and aligned to government priorities. As we say here, DOD ensures alignment of its priorities with government priorities through its planning framework as well as through its operations. As a department, our planning framework is located within the government's planning framework. The outcome, for instance, of the Lekgotla articulated through the State of the Nation Address and Budget Vote are basis for the DOD short, medium term activities, as guided also by the Minister's priorities and guidelines. this is the framework. It's within this framework that we set our objectives, we set what we want to achieve. And briefly, Chairperson, just to take you through some of the key objectives that the Minister of Defense is pursuing. Firstly, the objective we are pursuing is defending and protecting the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the Republic. Secondly, supporting the people by maintaining cost-effective defense capabilities in order to be prepared and equipped to participate in operations as ordered and funded by government. Thirdly, the objective we are pursuing is to contribute to global security through promotion of regional and continental security and government diplomatic initiatives through regional and global defense cooperation and participation and peacemaking. Fourthly, we have to ensure good governance of the Department of Defense through effective, efficient, and economical management, administration, and accounting within the regulatory framework of government policy. The fifth objective was to ensure continuous improvement of defense capability, and that we do by means of quality command and control, developing the people and improving the equipment and facilities of the Department of Defense. That's all that we focus on this objective. The other objective, we are implementing a one-force concept, and we do so by adequately resourcing and utilizing both the regular and reserve components, as well as rejuvenating and right-sizing the human resource composition of the Department of Defense. Yes. Next one. Okay. Also, the objectives we pursue, preparing defense capabilities and also employing these defense capabilities to meet operations and commitment orders by government and restructuring of the Department of Defense. Over the period under review, these were the focus of the Department of Defense. All our plans, our operations were aimed at achieving those objectives. So it's very important for us. But let me now give you some of the key highlights, Chairperson, of the year under the review. That is financial year 06-07. I must say that despite the challenges, limited resources, problem of funding, we are proud to say as Department of Defense that we're able to deliver on all ordered commitments by government, both internally and externally. And as you can see, externally on a daily basis, on the average, we have deployed 4,747 members. We're deployed in peace and support and humanitarian relief operations in Burundi, the Comoros, Cote d'Ivoire, DRC, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Lesotho, Madagascar, Mozambique, and Sudan. We are conducting operations in all these countries and carrying out ordered government commitments in all those countries, and we did so very successfully. Internally, we deployed on a daily basis over that period under review, 1,300 members on average were deployed daily, and that is in support of the South African police services in their crime fighting. We helping them on borderline control and of course rural safeguarding. We were very much involved in supporting other government departments, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, and the Eastern Cape, for instance, during this swine fever problem, and also assisting them with operations like poaching and so on. And in the year under focus, the responsibility for borderline control of the international borders with Namibia, Botswana, Lesotho were handed over to the South African Police Services. As you know, Chairperson, we have a commitment to withdraw completely from internal activities in March 09. That is the presidential instruction. So we're pulling out, we're withdrawing our units, these commandos, we're dismantling, etc. So in the year under review, those are the areas that we already handed over to the staff. Now, some of the highlights also Chairperson said just internally and externally. We have also were engaged in defense, bilateral, structural meetings, and during this period we engaged 19 countries to enhance bilateral relations and defense-to-defense cooperation. We are meeting on annual basis, for instance, with our neighboring countries, in structures of joint, what's JTCS, Joint Permanent Commission on Defense and Security, with Botswana, Namibia, Zimbabwe, annually. And we engage there in three sectors. We look at the defense matters, we look at matters of public security, we look at matters of state security. And we also have bilaterals with more than 100 countries all over where we conduct defense, normal defense cooperation. And in the year under review, the department, for instance, participated in 15 SADC, the Interstate Defense and Security Committees, and other multinational activities. We proudly hosted the African Aerospace and Defense Exhibition in 2006 here in Cape Town from 19th to 24th of September, which was very, very successful. And under the year under review, in excess of 2,100 learning programs were presented by the Department of Defense, attended by more than 51,800 learners, confirming that the Department of Defense is a learning organization. And additionally, 192 Department of Defense members attended foreign learning opportunities, in line with some of the memorandum of agreements that were signing with these countries. Still, yes. Now, brief challenges that we face as a Department of Defense. Among the challenges that we face, Chairperson, is the impact of legacy systems on efficiency, resulting in qualified financial statements. We are in a process of renewing our own ICTs and so on, but we really face serious challenges. For instance, our SMS is 23 years old, and some of the logistic systems are older than 30 years. There's a big challenge, which, among others, results in some of the qualifications in our financial statement. But towards the end of this presentation, we'll come back to some of these challenges. We also face a challenge in the delayed implementation by National Treasurer's Initiative of the Financial Management Improvement Program and the Integrated Financial Management System, causing us some problems. We face a problem of balancing the allocated resources with government commitments, including matching the diplomatic footprint. As I've tried to highlight, we have memorandum of understanding or defense cooperation agreements with about 103 countries which we are servicing. We participate in all the financials in support of the foreign affairs objectives. Wherever they are, we are also there. We have representatives, defense attachés all over the world, running offices and so on, in the UN, all over. And really this is stretching our resources. Of course, we also face a challenge of inadequate funding for infrastructure maintenance, which we'll come back to. This was just by way of highlighting some of the challenges that we face as the Department of Defense. And how we are addressing these challenges, firstly, we are trying to ensure strategic alignment through the updating of the White Paper on Defense and Defense Review. A historical problem and challenge we face is that the policy in the White Paper on Defense and the strategy that we must pursue in the Defense Review does not match the allocated resources. The resources that we are allocated are not enough to carry out the policy that the government has given us through White Paper on Defense and Defense. Thus, we engage in that exercise. to realign, to try and get a new consensus so that we can be funded accordingly. Otherwise, we face serious challenges. We also engaged over the period under review the restructuring of the top structure of the Department of Defense to improve direction and management, including the restructuring of the command and management body, so that we are more focused in delivering on our strategy, much more accurate and so on, and much more effective and efficient. We are also engaged in an initiative to implement the so-called balance scorecard as a performance management tool. We also engaged in a number of other initiatives that would ensure that our processes are aligned, we improve in our business architectures and business rules so that we are much more effective in the process. We engaged in projects like LaCosia, which is looking at the business architecture and how best do we align and deliver much more effectively. We are engaged in Lehadima, Kijima, which are tools aimed at ensuring that we better allocate and manage the resources, mainly budgetary tools that you are using. We also came up with Defense Enterprise Information Systems Master Plan. That is our strategy and plan to renew our ICT. Now, also key initiatives we're involved in is the, in terms of rejuvenating the National Defense Force. We engaged in a program, Military Skills Development System. As you know, since we integrated, we're facing serious problems at the Department of Defense. In terms of age, the average age of our troopers were 40 to 45 years. The problem of health, you know, problem of representativity. So we came with a strategy 2010, what is called the Military Skills Development System, to renew and tackle these challenges. So far, we have had a total of 5,053 members intake during the year under review to meet those objectives. We also increased under the year under review the capacity of the Conventional Reserve Force, and we came also with an initiative to implement a WEX regiment, and that is aimed at building a regiment that will focus on our facilities and infrastructure, employing soldiers themselves instead of exiting them because of old age and so on, throwing them into a street. We put them into a special regiment and equip them, train them, mechanics, plumbering, you know, so that they're utilized as a regiment, and we continue paying them with salary and so on. Next. Yes. Also, under here, we took the minister, of course, issued all this work. I've said we are working within the framework of the broader government, Makuta, clusters, and so on. But every year, the minister issues specific guidelines on the basis of which we plan and conduct our activities. And this year, under review 0506, the minister provided strategic direction to the finalization of white paper on defense and defense review. I've already explained the purpose of that. And also, the minister was very much concerned on the state of readiness, and he issued clear guidelines to service and divisions for them to review their state of readiness in line of a theme that the minister came with. And the theme was, are we ready, and ready for what? He also gave clear instructions in terms of the gaps of the readiness that I've said. And a lot of the minister's attention was focused to direct the ongoing transformation of the military justice system. We're facing serious challenges there, as well as restructuring the department in general. Also, the minister gave directives with regards to the restructuring of the defense together with the Minister of Public Enterprise, the defense industry, which has to come up with a new strategy, South African defense-related industry sector strategy. He gave direction for the reviewing of the AMSCO, we're transforming the AMSCO. He also gave directives for us to come up with a new defense evaluation and research institute. So these are the activities that we're engaged in the broader transformation of the defense sector strategy. Most of this work is completed and is serving before cabinet as we are talking. He also gave direction, wanted us to focus closely to contribute on global security. He gave political direction for our participation in peace missions in the DRC, Burundi, Ivory Coast, and so on, as I've indicated earlier on. And we played a role in Africa. We participated in elections in the Comoros, in Madagascar, and Lesotho, as you will see the details of that in the annual report. Also, yes, that's fine. Next one. Where? Yes. Based on those ministerial guidelines, myself and the chief also came up with our own guidelines on the implementation of those guidelines. Continue. Next one. Yes. Here we report that, of course, there was extensive progress in terms of those guidelines that the minister gave to us. Let's continue, eh? Yeah, continue with that, Joseph. Continue with the policy. Yes, under defense policy, we have a division that we call policy and planning. And they are the ones actually that are championing all these policy issues. It's led by the DDG Mutumi. And all these bilateral, all these issues that we're talking about, balanced scorecards, they were the people driving this. Next one. Yeah. Under defense resources. Under the year under review, we successfully established an integrated human resource division. And then we continued, as we shall show in some of our slides, improving the racial and gender representativity. And we continue the rejuvenation, as I've indicated, rank, age profile of our forces. And of course, we continue building the conventional capacity of our reserves. Yes? Yes. As these slides are showing, the number of personnel, as of 1st April 2006, we had 77,858. Of these, 64.8% were African, 21% are white, and 12.7% are colored, and 1.2% are of Asian origin. That is the personnel of DOT. And as we concluded the year, go back. As we concluded the year at 31st March 2007, that's how we stood, 77,518, a slight increase. And we just show that. Next one. Now, yes, the macro, the number of Africans appointed during that financial year increased by 1.5%, while the yes, okay. What is this one? Oh, this is the gender. In the National Defense Force, 77.1% are male. We have 22.8% female, which is very favorable, benchmarking internationally. It's around 15 to 20% female. We have a very big contingent, still not enough, but that is how we stand. The Botswanas in their history, they have only trained 30 for the first time in their history last month, 30 females. We are at those numbers. Next one. And during the financial year, there was outflow of male employees who exited the system, minus 1%, and inflow of female employees was increased by 0.68%. As I've said, in our recruitment strategies and so on, the particular sector that we are targeting for recruitment. Next one. Yes, under acquisition and procurement program, what we call defense material, just a few highlights in terms of what we have achieved. We are able to deliver aircraft and vessels. We disposed, we received the Hawk lead fighter trainer, 16 of them. We were able to receive the two submarines and the remaining covert vessels. All of them were able to deliver to the SANDF. We also transferred during this period the naval dockyards to AMSCO, to be managed by AMSCO. As I indicated earlier on, we have managed to develop a South African defense-related industry strategy in consultation with the Department of Public Enterprise, Trade and Industry. And the departmental technology strategy has been fundamentally revised, including the impact of establishment of the Defense Evaluation and Research Institute, which I alluded to earlier on. And the Defense Materials Division participated actively in the strategic planning process aimed at reviewing the scheme to align it with the material requirements captured in our defense update and so on. We also participated actively in the new strategy and vision of the NEL to try and rescue the NEL. Next one. What is very important under this acquisition program, they also manage our special defense account. And we are very proud that we have been able to deliver a very clean, without any qualification on this. We're able to account for all the budget items and so on. Next one. Yes, these are some of the challenges that we face under this program. Inadequate funding for the maintenance of all weapon systems remains a challenge. Late delivery of weapon systems like the HAWK, light utility helicopter, the ground-based air defense system, mainly because of the problem in AMSCO and some of the contractors. Of course, we made them pay penalties and so on, but they delay us in terms of delivering certain projects. For instance, that Hawk lead-in fighter trainer is very important in terms of training, preparing our pilots and so on. And its late delivery therefore also affects our progress in training of these pilots. Yes. Yes, I've already alluded briefly. The other program we pursue is the information communication system. We came with that state master plan. We are busy renewing and so on. I've already spoken to that. Next one. Which one is it? Next. Yeah, okay, these are the general expenditures. We'll come back to this when we are dealing with the financial statements. That's true. This is the Army. Force employment. Yes, this is a joint operation, force employment. Next one. She says, go back to enlistment. Yes. As I've indicated, this division is the one that is responsible for these operations. And they successfully participated in 14 external and 2 internal operations. That involved over 6,000 members, as I've indicated earlier on. They also successfully participated in 5 joint and 9 multinational exercises. We'll take you briefly through that. And the main challenge that we face with regards to these divisions is capabilities required for peace support operations are constrained by the mismatch between allocated resources and government order commitments, as I've indicated earlier on. Yes. And these are some of the operations. They are quite detailed. You know, Operation Mistral is all our activities in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Operation Fiber is in Burundi, where we are protecting the returning exiles to ensure the stability and peace there. Operation Pristine is in the Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, where we're trying to reconcile the fighting parties there and so on. Espresso is observer missions in Eritrea and Ethiopia. Operation Teutonic 1 and 2 and 3 in the Democratic Republic is with regards to the to assist that country with sector security reform program and building their infrastructure. We have a joint fund with the Netherlands. They're contributing some millions there of pounds to assist us, to assist the DRC. Operation Triton was in Comoros, and CODIS is our activities in Sudan. As you know, the president has just announced that we will be raising the profile of our people there, our involvement close to 1,000 in the Sudan because of this new hybrid mission. Next one. Yeah, these are some of the exercises that we... Yes, next one. Yes, we are also involved in Mozambique. On Lesotho, we have said those are the activities we conducted in Lesotho to assist them with election. In Mozambique, this is the work that we did there. We were involved in 2 operations in Mozambique. As you know, there was a tragedy where their ordnance exploded. We deployed our people there. We spent close to 8 million and 3 months or so in helping them to clear the rubble and so on. Yes, these are some of the border the operations we are conducting internally in support of the police. The details are there. Next one. Yes, still the same. These are exercises that we conducted. The details are there. We shouldn't waste much time. These are very important where we test our state of combat readiness, our doctrine, our preparedness, better mastering our equipment and so on. We conduct these very costly exercises, both internal and external. Next. All the details are there. Yeah, that's what defense, that is the army. The army is the bulk of the people we deploy actually come from the army, and there we give the figures that the army has contributed and some of the progress they make in terms of their recruitment. The information is there. Next one. Yes, then the second program, the other program is the air defense. During this period, 37,160 hours were flown, of which 9,788 hours were in direct support of joint operations. This is a big challenge. We are able to keep our pilots and so on with us, retain the skills by ensuring that we really fly for them to gain more experience and so on. As you know, we are responsible for the presidential fleet, VIP, and all the other operations. Those are the hours. And also, we must say that we supported Italy and Brazil Air Forces. The Air Force was also engaged in training VIP protectors from Pakistan. And the Air Force Reserve delivered 62,496 man days. They flew 2,737 hours. They were also engaged in exercise Blue Ruvuma, exercise New Horizons, also to test their capabilities and so on. And we must say that we were able to increase the number of black candidates for training. in this special mastering in the effort. We'll show that now the numbers next segment. Yes, during the year, two people pilot courses were completed, where we produced 33 lead learners, 30 were males and 3 were females, and 67% of those were black. They also recruited in their military skills development program, altogether 613 learners who were trained. We are also engaged in very serious program to retain skills. As you know, biggest challenge, we are all the time competing with the open market there, the South African Airways and so on, all the time poaching on our pilots, our flight engineers and so on. It's a challenge all the time. Whilst we train, but we also come with special skills, incentives, special incentive skills to retain this unique capability. The challenge we face, of course, is significant levels of underfunding in the operating budget. We are not flying as much as we would love to, and this is a problem. And this is the other demotivating factor for these pilots, because they want to fly all the time. I've already explained the impact of late release of the Hawk jet trainer, and of course the challenge of deteriorating of operational infrastructures and facilities. Yes, maritime defense, that is the Navy. Very briefly, they highlight 4 frigates and 2 of the 3 new submarines are in service now, successfully. We acquired those and they were commissioned and they are operational. Very big achievement for us. But they were very much involved in the SADC maritime method. We trained over 40 learners from various African countries. And also, we established a special marine reaction squadron. And we increased the representativity, like in the Air Force, in combat domain. And we also made progress in our rejuvenation program. 480 MSDS recruits joined the Navy. Next one. Challenges in this environment that is facing our nation. Also the funding level, and mainly affecting us in terms of our facilities and enforced preparation. Navy also face a big challenge of loss of technical skills and expertise, especially the divers in the technical and in the technical domain. Of course, we are also instituting a lot of measures to try and retain and incentive teams to retain these specialists. Yes, next. Now, military health services. As you know, we have 4 services. We have the Army, we have the Air Force, we have the Navy, and we have the South African Health Services, SFO Service. Yes, they were very much also engaged in post-preparation exercises. They were also very busy to ensure that the packages that we are acquiring, the ships, the vessels, and all these aircraft, they are also integrated. They look after the requirements from the perspective of the sense. They have also optimized the alignment between their strategy, improvement, and efficiency measures. Yeah, not much. Not much, because all they do is to support the other services. Defense intelligence, there's a detailed report in the annual report there. We must say that they continue to play a very positive role, and we receive very positive feedback from all our national clients. Our defense intelligence is part of the NICOC, where we are very much involved as defense intelligence initiative on the African continent. Wherever we are, they are the ones who assess there, to assess the situation, conduct reconnaissance, do research and so on to support our forces. And the fact that we are operating so safe so far in this operation is because defense intelligence is very much involved in all this, including our operations and exercises. Of course, we are facing very serious problems also in terms of retaining personnel, especially personnel who are dealing with the vetting, the red seal and so on. We face these challenges all the time. We train them and people house them and so on. But we also have programs and plans to address that. Joint operations of sales to that. Yeah. Start properly with the financial statement. Where are those figures? Okay. The slide is there. I see she can't find it. Leave it at this. But in general, our budget, as you know, is 23.07 billion. And what we can say that in the general account, we're able to spend it. We achieved 0.36% of the budget. And what we're unable to spend on was the money that is transferred from the public way. They were unable to pay on time. So this money is them who are spending and so on. So it's a very good expenditure. You know, we are not under spending or over expenditure and so on. Of course, now you change that slide. You shall want to trust me. Yes. Of course, we are faced with very serious challenges in this environment of finance, which I think I must spend some few who are appearing tomorrow at Cobra to go and account on this audit qualification. But there are three main challenges that we face in the finance environment. One, we continue to transform to build capacity. And like all other government departments, we are faced with skills shortage. We should try to build them. So that is one. The second challenge that we face in the financial environment is the question of the services, the legal, the old information. As I've indicated, our financial system, for instance, is about 23 years old. And in the year 2005, we embarked on a program to renew, to ensure that we are able to move from cash basis of accounting to accrual. We came up with a program of graft, but the government couldn't stop that program, and they insisted on coming up with a national framework within which we all must operate, what they call the integrated finance management. And that has also stalled, because we could not enhance, we could not come with initiatives, we had to put on what the national says are doing. This is the second challenge. Of course, the third challenge is command and control, internal systems, hands-on approach and so on, ensuring compliance with existing policies. We're still facing some challenges. These are broadly the challenges that we are facing. And this explains some of these difficulties that we have in our financial statement. As a result, we have faced about 16 qualifications. As you said, in our midterm, the problem of misclassification of expenditure in terms of our revenues and recover those receivables, in terms of our lead commitment, the theory and the problem with the suspense account, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we had a problem with rent review and so on. Yes, but we can assure honorable members that we have plans. We are working very closely with the Auditor General and with the National Center. And so far, we are at one. They have approved all our plans and our measures to rectify the situation. And we all agree with them that, of course, there will be quick wins from those problems that we can eliminate immediately. Like problems that are linked mainly with compliance and so on. But there are those problems that we can only solve in the medium and long term. Thank you very much for your time. And thank you for my report.
Thank you very much. Thank you for taking us through this report. I wonder if there are additions from the detachment. Like I thought I had to say it now before we get to answer questions. If there are any additions, then we can allow this one. Thank you very much, Mr. Masilet. Maybe before I allow the Mukwena detachment to engage you, you can talk about the unfortunate incident that you had. I thought we touched on that before. Can you talk about this just first? And how are assisting the family and stuff of those of our members who passed on because of that unfortunate incident? Can you talk about this?
Where we lost some of our members and others injured. And but what the minister did immediately was to institute a commission of inquiry. They've just concluded their work, and that report is to be tabled to the minister first before it is made public. So, of course, we assisted with the funerals. We established a special fund. And there was very good response from the public, especially the business community, our reserves and so on, who contributed some funds into that. But other than that, person, I do not have the details now, because we are awaiting that report. It clearly will be made public, especially to the parliament.
Thank you very much,
sir.
Colleagues, there we are. We got a report, we're taking through it. It's up to us now to engage the department. Honorable Tuli wants to come in first. Honorable Shitega, Honorable Leru, Honorable Mac, Honorable Munoz, in that order. Well.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we would like to thank the comprehensive report from the department. Chairperson, I just want to find out what is the establishment of the defense of South Africa. What is it supposed to be? Let's say, what are we targeting? I mean, the establishment, what the army itself, how many personnel do we envisage? Number two, you talked about the skill shortage. I think we are 13 years now in this democracy, and what causes these skill shortages? I mean, which department? Because I think even those 7 years degrees, I think now we should have acquired that skill. And number three, I did not hear well about the transfer of funds from the public works, if you can elaborate on that one, because usually wherever we go, when we're going on oversight, this public works working relationship with other departments is always there. So we'd like you to elaborate on that one. Lastly, Chapter said a recommendation that what about utilizing this aging force in the SAPS just to be reskilled so that they can assist the SAPS, the aging force, those who are retiring and all that. Thank you.
Yeah, I would suggest that we take this, all these questions and you respond at once. Yeah. The member who just asked a question is the Honorable Ntuli. Can now listen to Honorable Shishai.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, I want also to echo the same sentiment raised by my colleague in saying that we are appreciating the presentation made by the Secretary of Defense, what he sees. Of course, I must start by saying that it's a concern that the defense force is known as an efficient occupancy general. Even the concept called strategic planning was designed to be successful, meaning that the defense force generally is visionary in terms of this. But the concern is more on the ability not to account for the money used. This is not used to account after 30 years of democracy. It's an issue. It's an issue because we hold our defense force highly. And of course, I would be happy to hear from you at what point do you think you'll be able to get a clean audit? Meaning that not the money that you use, you're able to say these are the six. You are able to account on the money. No, accounting is a simple thing. You use money, you say, these are the things. I show that the money I used here. And in that way, you get a clean audit. Okay, it's simple like that. You're able to show that. I'll be happy to hear then that when do you think that we'll be able to reach the league of those that are able to. But I think it's an overall weakness of government, which I think we must take it with cabinet members, particularly the members of finance. Your departments are shining. I mean, when we were growing up, we knew that each one is one. Those that know how to do things are supposed to be appreciated, to the others. Because this thing of shining a few departments, they shine, that it gets unqualified audit without really having a forum of CFOs where this is shared and so on, and you look at the system. So it's something that I think has to do with it. The other thing, Chair, you are talking about a lot of, you know these things, they are, I'm addressing the secretary to you, but these things are the same. The system. You've raised an issue around the financial system that was developed. So, can you elaborate on the reasons that are used in rejecting the usage of CRAP? Because in local government, the accounting system that are used is GAMA and CRAP. Those are two systems that underpin, which have proved to be quite useful as a tool. Now, which I think, as we speak, Chairperson, today we'll be passing a bill that deals with the integration of the public service. Next year, Mr. LaRue will be passing a bill that comes as single public service, meaning that all government systems are supposed to be one because of that. Therefore, these 50 financial systems have to speak to each other at some point. And now I would be able to give the reason for that. Quiet on this issue. The other thing that I want to check on, there was unhappiness with the State Information Technology Agency, generally with the defense. What is the situation now? Because they've been given a broad mandate, not only mandate, I think they are given a renewed vigor. to ensure that they are able to do their business in an efficient way. What would you say that situation is as we speak in relation to what is happening?
At the broader level, there is always a complaint. I think since we came into power, that the defense force is ill-equipped, under-resourced, and of course, aging. Now, that's a school of thought of people in the army, or those associated with the army. You have another school of thought that says, yes, you're required to defend the integrity of the country and its territory and the sovereignty of the constitution of the country. However, in South Africa, you are in a turbulent country that is developing, the priorities around development, so that you have a population that is able, that is, has a disposable income, so that it is able to ensure that pay taxes and so on, therefore you have more money in the kitty. The defense plays a role, but in terms of priorities, it might not be priority. Now, from your point of view, second, have you looked at your needs to say, when we come to the Committee of Parliament, if these needs are satisfied, these are our needs, they can be satisfied, then we'll be happy. So that whatever you do today, tomorrow, and the other day, fits within a strategy. It contributes. It's a building block that must be able to take you there. When you say, no, we think that we are well equipped and so on, we can face any threat that can emerge in any country, including the possibility of the forces that want, that the Americans to deploy in Africa. That threat that might be there. Although Africa, of course, is rejecting that, saying, no, we don't want your forces yet. We are sure that all countries can be able to reject that. Now, I'm saying it will be nice to hear that. The last point is the efficiency of our defense intelligence. Before, it was very good. We are not sure now. Can you safely say that our operatives are good? Because I remember at some point near, they broke it in their offices. They broke around it. I mean, this week. Yeah, the near offices. They broke it, I think, about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. Near offices. This week, they broke in the offices of the nuclear power in South Carolina. To me, that's a serious security breach. In terms of that our nuclear arsenal that might be there or whatever that is associated with, you are able to breach in there and shoot inside.
Which to me suggests it means that our operatives really the standard. What about to say?
Thank you very much. We deal with challenges, and there are many challenges that you deal with, but then you say totally inadequate for the first and only time. Does that mean that there's really virtually a breakdown as far as infrastructure maintenance is concerned? And what are you going to do about it? Because the problem is not going to go away by itself,
And what plans are afoot to stop the rot, so to speak? And right at the top of that slide, it says inadequate funding for maintenance of all weapon systems. Now, obviously the report is not out yet, but the press seems to think that the accident was mainly caused by a lack of proper maintenance. Can you give us your view on that? And then lastly, there's always this problem of having properly trained staff. You mentioned it virtually on every page as a challenge. Can you give us a specific figure, for instance, on pilots? Are we really short, and how much are we short, and how is the training going, and when will we reach a position where we're not going to be short anymore? Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Honorable Nehru. Can everyone else have Honorable Mac?
Thank you, sir. I'm in a very good position. All good, thank you. And I'm in a very good position. Many other things have been touched on. But let me just say, I'm also concerned regarding the maintenance of equipment. If we could have maybe an idea what the backlog is of maintenance. Because not only what happened at Luatla, I also have some friends in defense that went to work outside the country, and they are complaining about the bad shape that these weapons that they get to work with in other countries are in. They are not well maintained, those weapons. Then, if I could get an idea, is this, how many of these accidents have happened? And I've seen there's been a lot of claims of how much, can they give us more information of how many claims come in due to accidents for people, to our own people, and to damages caused to other properties outside. Another different question. Besides the intelligence, and I think that would include, we had once upon a time, and I want to allude to the early warning systems in the protection of our own borders, especially relating to our fishing stocks of foreign vessels crossing our own fishing waters, coming in, fishing, and then leaving. Now, there was an incident a couple of years ago where we assisted in following a trawler or some vessel from Australia. And then we met up with it and we caught it and escorted it back. But how effective are we with our own stock, seeing the incident of Pelham and all of this happening, and even Chinese, Japanese vessels coming to fish in our own waters. Then what I'm really also very interested is the theme of, are we ready and what for? What is our state of readiness? And because over the last few years, emphasis has gone to education, has gone to social development, and all, and almost, because we are not in a state of war, we tend to play down the importance or the necessary funds that you need to defend this country. Although we are not under threat, where should we be and how ready, how far are we of being there in the event of anything happening? Then just maybe one clarity on the losses that we had financially due to criminal conduct and what is it all about, and then debts that were written off. Maybe I could just get an explanation on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, there is fresh tea being that was just brought in. We are not going to break the tea, but number 10, 5 leaves. Just go and grab a cup and let's question and continue. Yeah, and who knows, that was the Honorable Max who just finished contributing. Can I recognize the Honorable Manuel?
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, Department Officer, for the presentation. My question is with regard to the withdrawal from internal security activities and leaving those for the SAPS to handle. Is it because of a reduction in the need for your services within the areas where you are assisting SAPS, or is it because other reasons? What would be those reasons be for you handing over the activities that you were performing that were related to the internal security or SAPS? The second one is, what is the extent of an impact of your overstretchedness? I see that you are all over the continent. What is the extent and impact of that overstretchedness on your internal activity and on your own resources that you spend in the activities that you perform in support of other countries that are in conflict in the continent? And where you are mandated perhaps by the United Nations to perform those functions, are you promptly reimbursed for any expenditure that you have incurred as a result of those activities? You have said you have spent 99.64% of your appropriation already for this financial year. Now, how do you propose to get to the end of this financial year? And lastly, the members that leave the military, what are the reasons for them abandoning the force? Thank you.
Thank you very much. The announcement I made about C is made for all of us in this room, not for members only, for all of us in this room. Yeah, while the secretary is busy lining up his detachment, that's how they're going to respond to questions. I'll reserve mine for now. I might not even ask them because the call this department is one of those few departments that is doing very well in servicing this committee in the senior house. So they've been very good to us in all these years in terms of budget hearings and other stuff. So maybe the only place where they're not doing well is not inviting the committee on their activities. That's the only thing.
Yes.
So maybe from today, I think they will know that there is this committee in the senior house that they deserve those invites as well. Yeah, on that note, that was a commercial break. Yes. Can I now hand over to the secretary to line up the rules of the phone on my over to you, FF.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Member. There was a question with regard to the total establishment of the Department of Defense. When the Secretary for Defense presented to this meeting, when the Secretary for Defense presented, he did indicate the number of people who are in the department that is feet on the ground. At
as of the 1st of November 2007, that was 76158. But the number of posts in the Department of Defense is 103552. Those posts, in terms of the current white paper, the current white paper says we are to go down to 70,000. But unfortunately, in 2003, we introduced the MSD, Military Skills Development, which was not envisaged in the department at the time when the white paper was being developed. So that has pushed the number of the posts or even feet on the ground as follows. We have currently 89,127, which we call production posts. Production are the full-time people working within the department. And then we have 4,500 funded student posts. And then we have 9,925 student posts which do not need to be funded. The reason why they do not need to be funded is because students are being rotated on a quarterly basis. And when you rotate students like that, you do not need one post, because when you find a post, that means you have to staff somebody permanently within that post. As a result, with all the calculations that I have done, the total establishment of posts not fit on the ground within the Department of Defense is
103552. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, please, sir. Just to indicate, which was also what is being vintage, with the white paper and the things we're working now with, that vintage figure at the end of the day might be finalized about 90,000 people.
Very important. General Mukwege, can you deal with the skill shortage? And first, public works programs and funding problems. Otherwise, if you don't talk to people, you know, I'll be qualified for fruitless expenditure. Bringing you here, not talking.
Thank you, sir. Through you, Chair, the question on skill shortage, the challenge we're faced with are the areas where we're talking about pilots. We train them, we qualify them, they stay with us in terms of sending them. We are at least trying to manage in terms of giving some incentive. But then, and they for the contract in terms of how long they want to stay with us. But once they are qualified and they've flown a number of hours and they've been with us for a number of years, then the airliners from the outside, they buy them. They just pay for that contract, whatever the amount of money they buy, they take them up. Because the rate they can pay, we cannot compete as a company. That's one area. The other area, again, where we're faced with shortages is the question of the air traffic controller. That's a challenge. And again, if you go to the flight engineers, that's also a challenge. Now, when you go to the question of the mechanics, we've got a challenge. At a certain stage, yes, we've gone through the outsourcing program. But because of the advent that we're beginning to move to the outside world in terms of operation in Africa, we need military mechanics. They're not available. The improvised explosive devices, as the Secretary for Defense has indicated that we have to go to Mozambique to help. Those kind of people begin to deal with explosives. They are not available in numbers. So we've got a shortage there. And then doctors, we also have got a shortage when it comes to doctors. Some are leaving us, not necessarily because of anything else. Percentage-wise, they might be equal to the doctors we find in the Department of Health. But in terms of the workload and the hours they work, they experience themselves working longer hours than the ones in the Department of Health. And because of that, then they also leave. So we've got psychologists, we've got a challenge there. And of course, when it comes to some of not technical skills like the project managers and the planners in other environments, we are experiencing challenges. Why is it so? Some of our senior people, especially in uniform, who working as project managers and planners, with a number of years, they begin to stay longer without promotion, and then they begin to think of moving out because they see themselves as stagnating. So these are the areas we are looking at without making a long list. Thank you, sir.
Yes, perhaps just to add to that, although we try to come up with policies and create a climate and environment of an employer of choice and so on, we come up with special schemes, incentive schemes and so on to pay them better, but it's still a problem. And I think the bottom line is that the whole economy, the whole country is facing very serious skill shortage, and we're no different from that. You look everywhere. Skills, especially artisans and so on, we are part of that. And of course, we can't compete package wise. What we are paying, as part of government public service, you pay your assistant director, your chief director, and so on. Out there, they give 4 times, 5 times that, and with better conditions of service and so on. It's a real time. And it's no wonder that the whole country has come up with a national strategy to build skills, they are pizza, pizza, and so on. We also affected equally the same. Thank you.
Please allow me to just give a quick background for context. This department in the past, long time ago, really ran its own facility. Then it was decided that everything must be centralized at DPW. Then it was centralized with the exception of day-to-day maintenance, which stayed the responsibility of the department itself. However, just to give a background, the estimated background value of repair and renovation, the capital project of the UD facility, grew to about 17.5 billion. And in terms of the occupational health and safety conditions there at Sabatwani, it rebuilded about 46% of buildings up below the required standards. So we are really experiencing a challenge in terms of facilities. Now, with this thing, it was decided that we really had to get to a position where we can look at this whole facility, and therefore our department has engaged the program now to really list the total footprint of all our facilities, and then also to classify those facilities as strategic facilities, and those facilities as critical for our needs, and there may be facilities that we can dispose of in agreement with government. And in this whole program, we have also now, in the process of contracting the CHRR, to help us to look at some of these assessments, because it requires actually a specialized type of knowledge. Now with this whole thing, what you will find is in the department, that capacity to manage facility was actually given to DPW. We were not structured with all that capacity and knowledge within the department. So this is now a challenge for us. Then, and now I'm coming to the development, then it was decided that they devolved the 1 billion to us for payment, not for a RAM program, for the maintenance of our bodies, but mainly for the bigger payment of fees. Now that money is, if you look at the expenditure and it can be followed in the financial statement, you will see that it's fairly in agreement with the public work, that it's fairly in position. However, the challenge of our department is we are engaging now, we have started out now with the RAM program, so we are really looking at strategic facilities to repair those strategic facilities. But they are going to be on a program, and that program is going to run over a period of time. As money come available, as you can see, we have started 1 million at this moment. The other challenge that we've got is the money that's being available within public work, even within the department for this, is not sufficient to really maintain what we've got on the footprint. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There was a question on the transfer of these soldiers to aging soldiers to the staff. We tried, we have a program, and we've transferred a few people.
300 or so far.
But there's a serious problem also. The commissioner also says he wants very young, healthy police members. You know, some of those who are above 40, you find it very difficult to employ them. You know, also their state of health and so on. It's not very easy. You know, it's not very easy. There are challenges that we face because they've got their norms also in terms of age, the level of fitness and health and so on. As police themselves, very sick. So we cannot just, you know, we're not solving. It's very few that they've been transferred here. Yes.
Originally, we started off with this transformation of about 1,700 military police. And it was envisioned that the footprint of military police would be scaled down to about 900. However, subsequent to deployment and the support that we need in terms of our deployment, it was envisioned that we need additional structures in support thereof. Therefore, the number also grew. So, exactly what the Secretary said, we started off the program to try to migrate more these people to CAP. However, as a result, the profile that they requested, a lot of the people didn't fit that specific profile that they requested by them. Therefore, the migration didn't proceed as we expected it to proceed. Therefore, some of the people were retained. We have retained the people. But I think what's important, just as important as the Secretary said now, is that we mustn't look at this going to steps in isolation now. Please also look at this in the light of the work requirement that was created.
Very, very difficult one. Defense Force is known for strategizing efficiency and effectiveness. This is true. But what are these challenges? Why are we unable to achieve a clean audit? This is a very difficult environment. And I will try to explain, you know, some of the real challenges. But in general, you know, we've been benchmarking defense forces all over the world. The same challenges that we are facing, they are facing, especially in terms of management of their assets, all that. All these years, I've sent last month a team, special team. I first visited the UK because we wanted to solve this. And after that, I sent a team of CFO, logisticians and so on to go there and try and understand how we can achieve clean audit. For all these years, the British have only started achieving a clean bill of health 2 years ago. All these years they've been qualified. And there are very few, and on basically the same issues that we are qualified on. In the personnel environment, in the asset management, you know, on those. And the reason why the British, for the first time they've achieved a clean bill of health is because they've introduced a Oracle, you know, system of accounting, information system, and that is helping them a great deal. Of course, they still have problems in Afghanistan and Iraq. If auditors go there, they definitely come up with a problem. So it's a difficult thing, but let me come specifically with us. As Department of Defense. One aspect is this problem of capacity and just how we are structured as government. You know, for a defense with a budget of close to 90 billion rand as Department of Defense, at the least, you know, you need a chartered accountant to run that and pay market later. At least you need three or four CIAs, you know, real qualified specialists, real accountants. But what is our structure in terms of how we employ people? We have your assistant director and we pay accordingly. It doesn't matter what your qualification and so on. You have your director, you pay accordingly, your chief director. I've been battling and trying to get chartered accountants there. They get in the open market there, get far more than me as a director general. And yet, I must pay them at the level of a DDG, a notch or two below me. It's just not possible to attract those people. Yet, the nature of the business that we are engaged in, I said 90 billion, we have millions of transactions in all the systems in terms of our inventory. You know, starting from toilet papers, the spare parts for the vessels, for the aeroplanes, and all that, you know. It's a huge problem that we need to expect. But the manner in which you attract such as public service, you are unable to attract those types of things. And we are dealing with that. We are trying to de-link this problem of paying me as a ship director. Let's pay you according to a qualification and expertise you have there. If you come, the research accountant, pay and be competent with people outside there. This is the other challenge that we face, we're trying to address. The second challenge, and that is in terms of skills and so on, because what we did in the finance division, we actually transformed soldiers and created a finance division, tried to train them and so on, you know, over the years, empower and so on. We've done very little to go out there in the open market and get what is the best expertise and knowledge that is there to be able to run. In a way, confined by this public. This is one real practical problem. Can't keep those people. Others, we train them, we make them satisfy internal auditors. You know, they get masters in this, and they grow, they live it. Can say so many of these people who are going, and who are being paid so well out. It's a problem. Certain things need to be done. We're happy now that there is this reform of the public service, and we're really looking into the packages. Because we're so unrealistic in some of these departments. A department of sports and arts and culture there, with about 500 people, you know, the same will pay the same CFO, the same amount with the CFO in defense where you have 75,000 people and you run a budget of 90 billion. These are some of the practical problems we see. You can't. You know, these are real practical things. The other is the problem of the legacy. I've said our information systems are very, very old. You know? And it causes billions of rands to bring. We tried to do that, and National Treasurer stopped us. Our personal system is 23 years old. 23 years old. And it can't cope. It can't cope with the volume of transactions that we are dealing with. Our SMS system, our logistics, we have logis, we have all these systems, and so on. These are very old. And it's almost prohibitive funding to come about to renew those systems and so on. And we have said we are relying on the finance national treasurer who have come up with IFMS. They've got deadlines when they will come up with this new system. Some of them they will buy commercially off the shelf. Some of them they must develop and customize them and so on. It's not something because the government has started with CFMA, they came with a cash basis of accounting, and all our system were geared towards a cash basis of accounting. They are now moving to accrual. The goalposts are being raised. While they move to accrual methods of accounting, the systems, the knowledge base and so on is not matching that. So you need serious intervention at national level, at departmental level, to ensure that as you leave the post, you know, you raise that post, and then people are trained, capacitated properly, the systems and so on. So we are moving and struggling to move from this cash basis, put the necessary information system so that you can account on accrual. And all these years, the Department of Treasury and Auditor General, they've given us exemptions on accrual. But suddenly, this year, they refused. They said, no, we're qualifying, given this exemption. They said, no, we're no longer giving you deviations, you people. We settled with them and so on. But as I say, and then, of course, the question of normal, the culture of the military itself, which people must really understand. We are from a culture which was called something else, you know, hop, hop, run, for fast faith. We know we come from that culture, military of this country, you know, which knew nothing about accountability. The whole culture, consuming, doing what they were doing and so on, to transform the mindset, to come with this new culture of accountability, you know, make them account, financial statements. It's not something you can achieve over 3-5 years and so on. It's going to take time, like the rest of society. But as I say, we're really trying our level best and so on with some of these very objective problems. I need 3 billion to come with OIT information systems.
clear.
Yes, these are some of the challenges, honorable members. Now, we would like to share, because we think really solution to also if all of us and honorable members really understand it, that will help us to overcome some of this. So, in an answer to respond to that, as I've said, there are problems that we eliminate immediately, you know, immediately. But there are those that medium, we can only solve in the medium and long term. Absolutely. Absolutely. If we think overnight the defense will come up with a clean bill on finances with some of the challenges we face, it's not really realistic. Yes. And then the other problem here, the financial system is on the graph. I think I've tried to address that. CETA. Yes, CETA, we're working with CETA. We're ring fenced. We have CETA defense there. Our people are there. They are assisting us at creative, but they are facing their own problems themselves, you know, of transformation, of skills, of, you know. And they are not yet reached that stage where we have a service level agreement with them. You know, we have not reached a level where we are really, really satisfied that they are really dealing and assisting us, you know. So, for instance, they've just come up assisting us with the problem of interface. Our first call, as you were saying, that, no, it's easy, the receipt and so on. But our problem is that our first call does not speak to the SMS. The interfaces, you know, this is the other problem that makes us, for instance, very difficult to account for SMTs, foreign travels, you know, advances and so on, because they don't talk. The fourth number and so on, the details, personnel details are on the first source, and but you must capture the payments and so on the SMS. So we are battling with that. They are very useful systems. For the first time, they've come with a solution, but it has taken them a long, long, long time before they actually assist in matters of this nature. But we will be getting there. We are hopeful and so on. Defense force ill-equipped, under-resourced. Exactly, Chairperson. That is the problem that you face. And we have never been made a priority in this country. You know, immediately we independent people were saying, no, you are free now. They really cut our budget drastically, drastically. We are now around 1.2% of the GDP, isn't it? Yeah, 4 to 5% of government expenditure. And where we come from, you know, we were cut, said, no, there's no war and so on. But the other problem that we face, apart from these cuts, is that we inherited a really badly run down defense force. It was badly run down. And we agreed as we started that you got first start by renewing the Air Force and the Navy. You know, wait with the Army a little bit. That is why we started getting these new Gripens, these light utility helicopters, these trainer fighters and so on. Because all the Mirage, your Impalas and so on, were just outfitted and out. You know, huge wastage. That's why we're selling all of them. They are just a heap of obsolescence. You have to do that. Also renew their bases, also with the Navy. Terribly run down. Towards the concluding years of the liberation struggle, the regime here was mainly focusing on the land war. You know, because that is what they were fighting, troopers on the ground, these artillery and so on, and neglected the Navy, for instance. Also, you had to renew the whole Navy, these Marines, these new vessels and so on. And then we said the third phase will be the renewal of the land work capabilities, mainly the Army. Because also there you are facing obsolescence. Your main vehicles that you are using, your prime mission equipment, like your SAMIL, vehicles are 25 years old. Your CASPAS are more than 30 years old. Your RATELs, 20 years or so. And in the operational areas in the United Nations, they say they reimburse you according to your equipment, the state of the car, service and so on. Just from the onset, when they look at the age of this vehicle, they say they can't reinvest you. How to invest you? Operating a car which is 25 years old. And Nigeria comes with something 5 years, 10 years old and so on. Very difficult to get spare parts. Some of these spare parts are no longer available and so on. And this is what we were promised, that please let us equip the Air Force, the Navy, the next round will be equipping the Land Force. And it's not only equipment, it's personnel. Since integration, you've never had a real, and we integrated on based on political imperatives, not necessarily meeting criteria of fighting soldiers, age and so on. CAC, ANC and so on, is that you have so many people who are in the bush. Whether they are fit for fighting or not, no. We must join these forces. You have to renew that HR component also. You have to renew it. It involves huge resources. The facilities were neglected. The cabinet says now our focus is on the roads, it's on the electricity, you know, it's on all this housing and so on, different ways with your own basis and all this and so on. Please, just wait a bit. We've got a huge structural backlog in the country. So we are always considered the last. And they say there's no war. But these facilities are deteriorating. Deteriorating. You look at our Air Force Base, Waterloo. You know, you look. It's a big challenge. And the country says this cake is this big and so on. But there are efforts and initiatives that you are trying to do. We are facing a real situation where we were cut drastically, where our equipment and so on is reaching its lifespan and so on, and it's creating real difficulties. But we are ready and we're still delivering on our orders commitment despite all these difficulties. Yeah. I thought I should just respond briefly on that question. What Honorable Member Shitega, I know is very worried. We all worried, certainly. We have worked out in terms of, do you have your needs? Have you analyzed your needs? Yes, we have analyzed our needs. We have reviewed the white paper. We have reviewed our missions. We reduced them in the defense review. Our fourth level equipment type of missions under the new conditions, we have reduced them from 37 to 12 missions, you know. We have looked at the African battle space, and in the old defense review, they said we'll only have one battalion for external operations. But today, as you can see, we are really overstretched. We are deploying 3 to 4 battalion daily, as you can see there. Far out, that policy assumption is outdated today. We really overstretched. With all these difficulties, the equipment, the personnel, we're expected to be there on daily basis in the DRC, in the Sudan, all over, despite what we must still do there. And we are really, and people, and these missions are just creeping. Last month, we had to be in the Central African Republic. Now there's Somalia also threatening and so on. And sometimes we are just being deployed without the necessary corresponding funding and so on. Trevor Manuel will say, reprioritize, reprioritize. We've really reprioritized and reprioritized. There's nothing more we can do. We really overstretched, and it's a problem. It's a real problem. Because we'll reach a situation where, you know, yeah. But these are the challenges we must cope with. We are strategists, we are planners. we must deliver on the country's mandate. But it's really serious challenges that we face. But we are very clear of what we need, how we need to do that, and so on. We need consensus from Kevin to say, if you want us to deliver on these missions that you are giving us, day in, day out, in Africa and here, Mozambique, please make the necessary allocation, you know, available, which is not always easy. Yes.
I think just to round what the Secretary has said here, what we have at this moment, it is envisaged that we get about 1.2 to 1.3% of GDP. For the defense to be really sustainable, you run around about 2%. Now, there's a lot of questions regarding that figure, but I mean, it's inverted that we need about 2% of GDP. Or in real terms, it means that we have to upgrade our allocation at this moment in present value with about 8 billion per year. And then with that 8 billion, it will be possible for us then to start renew the army at the end of the day and to sustain our equipment so that over a period of the 30 years, we will take the whole defense back to organization that is sustainable in the present situation. So I think that is the real term that we are talking about. Thank you.
Briefly on the readiness of the defense intelligence, yes, we are satisfied. I've said some of the challenges that they face in terms of skills and so on, but they are doing very well so far. And of course, defense intelligence is not internal-based activities. It should be legal. We are externally-based, focused externally. We protect the territorial integrity, so we don't engage internal activities, you know, that can be very dangerous. So it's mainly to support operations, equipment, you know, spy outside, check the conditions, but internally, as you know, by law, you know. So there's not much we can assist with some of the problems of NIAS and so on, except for our own environment and so on. So more or less they are okay. We're engaged in very serious problems to equip them, especially with strategic collection centers and so on. But overall, I think we are happy. And then you see the national key points like the new Tier Quebec problem there and so on. It's really, as I've said, the national key points responsibility lies with the staff, the police, but it's all internal. So we are not there guarding all these institutions and so on. It's primarily the job of the police staff. Yes. Now, there was this other problem of the accident infrastructure. Yes, our infrastructure is a challenge and so on. We're coming with different initiatives, especially the triple P's and so on, because we cannot rely on, you know, begging money from government. We're going into triple P partnerships and so on. And some of our land we will give, but give for money and so on. We're engaged on that. The accident, really, I wouldn't want to attribute it to the state of our facilities and so on. But the report is going to be produced there, and we'll really talk on that finding. So far, we have not suffered accidents and so on. Of course, other buildings and so on, the labor people, inspectors came and forced us to close them down and so on. You face those difficulties. Accidents with regards to litigation, we face litigation, you know, in our hospitals where maybe a doctor is operating a person there, there's a mistake, maybe negligence and so on. We have a number of those. We have litigation cases, for instance, for our vehicles where our people, you know, are engaged with the general public, military vehicles and so on. We have litigation. We also have litigations where during exercises there's uncontrolled fire that affects farmers and so on. We have a number of those litigations and so on. We also have some litigation in the course of the operations in support of the police. During arrest, people get injured or killed and so on. We face a number of our people those litigations. But there is no accident or litigations where our equipment and so on has endangered our members. Maintenance of equipment, vehicle, I think I dealt with that. Accident claims, damages, I dealt with that. Early warning system, yes, we are very much involved in the early warning system center there, not only for South Africa, but for SADC as a whole. So the system is in place and operating fairly well. Yes, Chief? Yes, please, elaborate.
I think in terms of the GBAT, which is giving you a radar tracking on the horizon, the first phase of that project has been completed. However, as a result of certain capacity within the NEL, it was not possible to use all the money as was actually planned for, and therefore a lot of that money has been referred to the right. Think of the GBAS program, and the GBAS program is that program that was directly motivated to say we needed urgently to help us to look at the early warning on our borders, which is linked. And I think, sir, maybe you can just refer in also the work of the Navy there, because it was linked, the dollar early warning was linked to the fisheries.
Yeah.
And the work of our lady, maybe you can just refer in there. You want me to do it?
Yes.
Okay. I think at this moment, it's obvious that with the introduction of our triggers, we do have a blue water capability. Even more advanced than we have when we supported the Australians by catching this other element, and that boat that actually went past South Africa. So I think when I speak to General Admiral Madima, it's obvious that I think in terms of that protection of our sea resources, we are in position now, and I think we can do that.
Yeah, that was also the Perle Moon and so on. Yes, these frigates are really giving us a huge advantage, and that quick reaction squadron, naval squadron, you know, it will help strengthening the capacity of the police in that regard. State of readiness, I think generally I've dealt with this when I dealt with personnel, equipment and so on. It does affect, of course, our state of readiness. This is the other one. Withdrawal from the internal activities. What are the reasons? The reason it is there in our white paper that the defense force shall primarily defend the territorial integrity of South Africa and will not really meddle in internal affairs and so on. As you know, historically we've had those commandos and so on, which is in their role and purpose very controversial. And you know all the difficulties and problems that we have faced. People complaining around in Mpumalanga, you know, the, some of the roles that these commandos, you know, so it was very important that we really withdraw internally. It must be a police work to do internal and so on. It was only a temporary matter that we assist. But in terms of the constitution and our mandate, really, we cannot be involved in police work. We'll still be involved in borderline, you know, defense, like any other defense force, but we will not be there involved in crime, assisting to arrest people and so on. The capacity of the police needs to be built to be able to deliver on that. Only in a crisis like threatening where department has collapsed that we come in as a defense. But in the normal run of things, the police must be able to take care of their, it's a constitutional issue. Overstressed, I've already said those problems. We are really overstressed. And that's why we need urgent money to rejuvenate our forces. We need urgent money to renew our equipment, to rebuild our facilities, so that we are able to cope with the growing, increasing role of South Africa in the continent and elsewhere. Otherwise, in the state that we are, we find it very difficult. And we need, especially this renovation, we need this 18 years to 24 years. And we will be there fresh, healthy, young, be able to engage, rather than the 42-year-olds and so on, sick. We really need that to be able to We need this new equipment, not to go with a family which is 25, 30 years old. It's very difficult. But we are overstressed because we never envisage this increasing involvement that South Africa will be so much increased on the ground there in peacekeeping. Yes. I think, reason so. Yes, I think more or less this is how we responded to the question, sir. Thank you.
Unless if any of your detachment feel that the question that is not just responded to the indicator, all of the allowed to speak. Yes, madam.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Honorable Man, you said after what the budget that we've already spent 96% of our budget. I just want to point out that currently on our current budget, we are about 49% spent on our current budget. The figure that you see there is the figure at the year end of 06 of the, because we are reporting on the previous year. Thank you.
Thank you. Another response? Dan? Yes, Murray.
Just a little sharing of previous experience, honorable members. I think some of the issues will, with all due respect, reflect back on the work of honorable members in Parliament, because from time to time we say government took a decision of this nature, and this decision, for instance, an example is made here of the state of Department of Public Works, that at some point it used to function in this fashion, and then at a particular stage that decision was reversed, and a particular pattern was followed, and now we are encountering serious challenges because of the particular decision that was adopted at a particular stage in time. And this is very typical also with regards to issues of the commandos, for instance, not necessarily commandos, but the territorial forces, and the challenge that we've referred to earlier about the security in the initial key points. The initial key points, at some point, some 10 years back, were the responsibility of the Defense Force. And I know from personal experience that people used to go out and carry out inspections. I myself have been to Kalindaba, and I've been to Kuberg, playing that role to make sure that the security in those facilities was checked up. And of course, with the decision that this role must be handed back to the SAPS, now we come and settle with the question of challenges that now are being encountered with regard to security levels that are found in these places. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for raising that. When it comes to the public works, I'm sure to get a department that in this security class is not complaining about the same department. I'm just praying one day we'll get an answer, but we'll recommend some other serious stuff very soon. Do you want to come in before I open another round? Do you want to come in now?
Okay. Yeah. Colleagues, I will allow follow-up questions in terms of this gadget I'm having, this thing called my watch. It's the Sempas. So it means we have to finish in the coming 15 minutes or so, because of what I announced earlier on. Let me allow follow-up questions, brief ones this time. I'll allow Honorable West even to ask a question, because you requested to make a share somewhere. Honorable Shikaga?
Chairperson, my proposal would be that let's call it a day for now. I agree that the Department of Defense has been raising this issue. That with the power vested upon us, we must take up the issues, ensure that they are raised sharply. Because really, I must say that the voice of defense is very limited in government, people say, and all those people. In our case, we're exposed to the first-hand information of what is happening. We can only comment what the defense says. And then move further, because starting from this afternoon, when we debate the bill of the public service, raise issues sharply there, that must be taken. So the ministers can report, and we're able to take them further, around the scenes and so on, these things of interoperability, those issues that are there. And I'm saying that respect to me, I think that's what we must do, develop as a committee a systematic way of engaging on these issues up until we are able to find a way. But I don't think really 8 billion a year dealing with the defense in South Africa's state was the issue of money. Money is not a problem in South Africa today. Everybody who says that would not be true. But I think it's about the way it is, because we find that there's a lot of other expenditure also that goes on in the department. Now, I'm saying, I think the committee, let's agree that we call it for a day now. Then we're able to develop a way of engaging on this issue. I think at some point we'll be able to interact with the department. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Sitaya, for that proposal. I think I would support it after what I said, that this one department has really is cooperating with this committee in the other house. So we don't want to ruffle them. So we're going to massage you.
Yeah,
let me give you a back cost. These questions do not just collect to today, just check them along, they send them in writing through the relevant office. Even members of allow them to ask questions, but they are not going to be somebody to today. They will come in writing. Yeah, the first one is the when you talk of right sizing. This right sizing, it might have some negative impact. With the department that embarked on right sizing and even when you are restructuring. Because on the other hand, when you said that you are understaffed and shortage of skills, but at the same time you're right sizing. In other departments that say right sizing is that scaling down on their staff. If this can be just unchecked, that's how we're going to do it, is right size. The second one is I'm glad you expanded on the mobility exit mechanism. I don't know what else can be done because really I sympathize with you, especially in terms of department poaching on people you are training and just came and take them and dangle the carrots. Obviously, there's nothing you can do. But just government, really, we can't just fold our arms and say, no, well, it's fine, let them go. We'll see. Well, I don't know. You know, we'll be happy if there is a department. If what is it that you're suggesting to us as Parliament to say? For us really to retain this skill that we've trained, if we can try this, you know, to see if that can be achieved. Because it's sad, you know, to train a pilot, it's not like training a teacher for 3 years or whatever, it takes time. More time than even training a doctor. So because this is the person who takes tragic life in his or her hands. What is it that we can do? Even this air traffic controller. I know SAA and other people they are enjoying this is a special ground where they are really taking our people away from me. Now, in terms of the flying hours, I know that you have scaled down on flying hours, but not by choice. You're forced by circumstances. For you to go back to the hours that you need in terms of training and making sure that your people are combat ready, what I suggest is that Parliament to intervene for you to have all your hours back. I was going to touch on the defense intelligence and let the villages that's the very special ground. Can I now come on recruitment? There's one department I can't mention it, but you'll get it as you go. They outsource recruitment. They get a private
private entity to recruit on their behalf, shortlist, and give them those people who have been shortlisted. Now they'll only select from that batch. But the concern that I want to raise is that that's why that particular department, there is so much corruption, where people are being corrupted. No, it's not a secret, it's the correction services. Corruption there is so rife where now, the problem is that if you allow a private entity to recruit for you as a department, there's a possibility that you get wrong people. I mean, if the Secretary of Defense is in charge of that process, obviously you know the people you want in your system. But if someone will do it for you, obviously you get those crumbs that they'll give to you. So I wonder, what's your view on this one, on your recruitment? How are you doing it now? Do you prefer the route of DCS? Because that's not my favorite route to take on that one. Other than that, colleagues, I think those are my few questions that I'll be glad if they can be sent at the stage. Is there anything from you colleagues? There's a proposal by Honorable Sega that because of the cooperation we're getting from this department, let's stop that here. Of which I support. But I'll be glad if the support can come from the floor, not from this end. Honorable Mac?
Yeah, with one analogy, if we could get more involved with it, and if the invites come.
Oh yeah, not on the phone, on the invite. Remember, I raised a concern earlier on, and the invite, and maybe the other problem that they should correct it. on that note, I'll request the Secretary of Defense to say closing remarks before we adjourn. Then Honorable Meg will briefly in 2 minutes also say a few words on our behalf. Secretary, over to you, Bob.
No, thank you very much, Justice. And not just to thank you and the Honorable Member for this opportunity. You know, to come in front of you, present our case, the challenges that we face. You know, we do not take for granted the important oversight role that this committee plays, and we bless our cooperation because we are only going to be working together that we can resolve some of these challenges that we face. But thank you very much for the opportunity. Give us a hearing. Thank you.
Honorable
Max. Thank you, Chair. No, it's a privilege to speak to this department. You know, the extent of this country and of our new democracy, that is important to sustain this. The job that they are doing at the moment, I think all of us must be happy with it. Applaud you, even for the work outside. There will be a few things happening, but I don't think that the success we achieve and the recognition we get, even from outside countries, from the United Nations, only the mere fact that people are calling more on us to get involved is a good sign, it's a positive sign. And I think surely we need, as Honorable Chair has said, we need to support you. If we want you to protect this country and our whole new democracy, we need to give you the tools. and with that road we have to walk with you. There's one thing in this country that is happening. It's the moral decay. And in the past we said, by this false conscription, you usually force the youth to get some discipline. And the best was always in the defense, because your discipline and your moral values can bring something to our youth, which is surely drugs and all this are getting into our youth. Maybe I would like you to think about not again a forced conscription, but how can you maybe assist with bringing back that sense of responsibility into our youth, and how of your own members could be sent out maybe to schools and just assist our youth in some talks on morals, on respect, on discipline, because this is one of our big challenges out there. But I thank you very much for the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to go out there to see this old equipment. They are saying a creature path, they drive past, and many of them stuck, and then I laugh. So I know your situation. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Maker, for those kind words. Now, let me assure the Secretary and your team that of all the issues you raised that need our intervention, we'll take the matter up. We defer that team. And as a committee, if the things that we want to raise with you or you have some discussion, as a law, we'll invite you to face up with the information. On that note, you are all invited to join us for lunch at 1, at the order that we had dining hall. If some of us might be delayed because of the caucus, please don't wait for us to continue and enjoy those after meals. But all of us at 1, let's enjoy the meal. On that note, sir, we are chosen with a team. Thank you very much. Thank you. Colleagues, there are a few issues there to iron out before we finish. This debate, I think, colleagues, we are ready about this debate this afternoon. Tomorrow and Thursday. No, tomorrow, I don't think our committee is involved. It's only on Thursday. So on that note, we adjourn the meeting until we meet again tomorrow to continue the discussion on the correctional services amendment B. We'll finalize it tomorrow. Which is the venue? It's E5-2, that's actually the venue up there, but I'm told you might give us the correct venue. If you don't get any notice, we're meeting at E5-4, that side, that venue that is up there in the evening. Yeah, the meeting is again.
Yeah.